guy. I want to get in because I'm going to get back to non-air conditioning. Mom just doesn't need it. I guess when you get, I want to be careful here, older, you don't need air conditioning, I guess. So she says it's just fine. Of course, Jeff said he got about an hour of sleep last night. It's just so hot there. Praise the Lord for that. But we're going to be there all afternoon. We'll survive and have a good time. So, all right, we're looking at Haggai chapter 1. And this is a section. It's not going to be a long message, but this is an interesting message that Haggai gives here. Now, in verses 6 through 9, remember, he comes back and does a second message. He started the first message and got him going again. There had been 15 years gap, and I know you hear this every week, but there's been 15 years gap since when they started to build. They laid the foundation, they got frustrated, they stopped. Haggai comes down and delivers the first message and gets them fired up a little bit about doing it. But as they're building this, why did they get discouraged? Huh? Yeah, it wasn't going to be like Solomon's. And so they build for 3-4 weeks. They start to lay the stone, and then they realized this compared to Solomon's temple, because some were still there, it's going to be awful. This isn't going to be any good. And Haggai comes in with a message through in chapter 2, verses 6 through 9, and says, hey, he gave three things. I'm going to shake up all nations. And I believe that is in reference into he was in control of Babylon, Persia, Greeks, and the Romans. And he was going to shake up all nations. And that's exactly what he did, especially when the Greeks came in and defeated the Persians and created a pathway for Christianity. God said, I'm going to shake up all nations. And then he said the second promise he gave in this message was the desire of nations will come. I believe that has in reference that one day there were the Gentiles, all these Samaritans, all these people that have battled Jews all their life are going to come together with you Jews. And that's in reference to what? The church. That the church is going to come and Gentiles are going to be saved. And we go back to chapter 10. Remember chapter 10 of the book of Acts when he told Peter, eat, slay and eat? And he said, I've never eaten anything unclean. Well, what I've made, nothing is unclean. He went in chapter 11 to Cornelius, and the Holy Spirit was poured upon Gentiles. And that was the beginning. He had the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and that was the beginning of the Gentiles. That's what he's talking about here. One day the Gentiles are going to work in conjunction. Now, I know there's not many Jews that I think follow the Bible like you and I would do, but there are some. And he said that you're going to, Jews and Gentiles one day are going to work in, so the desire of all nations will come. Then he said the glory of this present house is going to be greater than the glory of the former house. What you're doing here? I know it doesn't compare to Solomon's, but what's going to happen isn't even in comparison. It's far greater than anything you're doing, anything Solomon did. And that's where the Holy Spirit's going to indwell. He's talking about that you become the temple of God. And that temple's going to go all over. See, what was the temple of Solomon? Who was it for? It was for the Jews only. Matter of fact, the Gentile couldn't even, remember they accused Paul of taking a Gentile into the, well, they could go to the first section, and women could go to the first section, but beyond that, no one, not even women could go past that. I mean, the temple was for the Jews. The tabernacle was for the Jews. This tabernacle or this temple is going to be for the Jews. But one day there's going to be a temple. That temple is going to be more glorious than these temples because it's going to be you and me. And temples are going to be placed all over the world. And they're going to see the Shekinah glory through you. See, if Israel wanted to see the Shekinah glory, where'd they see it? In the tabernacle, in the temple. Because that's where God, he didn't live there, but he came down when he was amongst the people. He didn't go amongst the people. He came down into the tabernacle. He went down into the temple. The only person who saw him apart from that situation would be Moses, who saw him up in the Mount Sinai. And so he's talking about the Shekinah glory is going to go all over the world. So you know what? This temple isn't going to be as great as Solomon's. But there's going to be one day a temple that's, the temples are going to be so much greater than either of these two put together. But for now, you have to build this temple as part of the plan, as part of God's direction. So don't worry about it if it doesn't look like Solomon's. Don't worry about it if it's not as good as Solomon's, because it just fills a role that's leading to the greatest role ever, where God is not worshiped in a temple, he's worshiped in spirit and in truth. That's the message he's portraying. And then he said, in this place, I'll grant peace. One day peace was going to come. When does peace come, truly? When a person is what? Born again. Because before salvation, there's enmity. You're at enmity with God, and the world's at enmity with God. And you know, again, I tell you this all the time. We expect the world to act like we act. But they're at enmity with God. They're enemies of God. I know that sounds awful, but that's what God said. He said the world's enemies. But the moment you got saved, you were at peace with God. And that peace with God gives you the peace of God. He said, there's going to come an overwhelming peace that Christianity, the world's going to know. So here's the message. Build this temple. It doesn't happen. What he's saying basically is if this temple doesn't get built, that doesn't happen. This is all part of God's plan. It doesn't matter if it's as good as Solomon's. This is what God wants you to do. This is where worship's going to take place. This is what's going to get the Jews back on track. Because even a greater temple's coming one day. And that fired them up. They start to build again. And in less than 3 years, we'll cover that next week, the temple was done. That was the message they needed to hear. But there's one more challenge in verses 10 through 20 of this chapter, and then 20 through 23. So this week and next week, we can be able to finish this off. But in verses 10 through 20, there's a challenge. For in the 4 and 20th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius came the word of the Lord by Haggai, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts. He said, ask the priest a question. And I'm going to read the question he asked. Then we're going to talk about it just for a few minutes, because there's a tremendous message in this. He said, ask the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and his skirt do touch the bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered, no. Then Haggai said, if one is unclean by a dead body touch, any of these, shall it be unclean? He asked the same thing. Are they going to be unclean? And the priest answered, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people. And so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands that which they offer, there is unclean. Now I pray you, consider from this day forward, from before a stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord, since you've restarted building this temple. Since those days when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there was only 10. And when one came to press fat and to draw out 50 vessels of the press, but there was only 20. And I smote you with blasting and with mildew and hail and all the labors of your hands, and ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day upward, from the 24th day of the month, even the day of the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is there yet seed in the barn? Is there yet seed? Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea. Yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought to you brought forth. From this day will I bless you. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai in the 4th and 20th day of the month. What a tremendous thought, he said. So he goes to the priest and he says, he gave him a challenge. And he asked him this question. And it's going to answer the question, can an object become consecrated or defiled? So he asked the question, if you're carrying around consecrated meat where the temple is consecrated, like the showbread or something, it was consecrated meat. I mean, this is holy meat. This is meat meant for God. And you carry it around in the pocket of like a suit jacket. And you're carrying around in there, and you lean up against some food, let's say some stew, some wine, some oil, or other food. You lean, touch anything with that consecrated meat. Does everything it touch become consecrated? And the answer is no. No. When something is consecrated and touches something non-consecrated, it doesn't become consecrated. That's the idea there. And then he switches gears because they answered right. He said no. And then the idea, the second thing was if you come in contact with a dead body, you become defiled. And being defiled, and you got to know your Old Testament for this, if you're defiled and you touch another person or you touch anything, does that thing become defiled? Yes, it does. So that's the two questions he asked the priest. So if you got something, if you're consecrated, if you're carrying something around consecrated and it touches a bunch of stuff, does everything it touches become consecrated? No. But if it's defiled and it touches things, does those things become defiled? The answer is yes. You have to understand that. That's the questions he asked. See, the idea is there, contamination is communicable, but virtue or consecration isn't. That's why it's far easier to spread evil than virtue. That's the idea behind it. You know, if you're defiled, you can spread defilement. If you're consecrated, you don't spread consecration. You know? If we could have a few members of this church very consecrated. And that doesn't mean everybody else is going to get consecrated that they touched. But we could have some people that are defiled and they touch. We have a greater chance they become defiled. They go in that direction. So you got to think like they're thinking. That's the question he asked. And those are the answers the priest gave, and they were right. And the idea is contamination is communicable. Defilement is communicable, but consecration isn't. And then God explains it and he relates it to Israel. It's been like that with you, Israel. You've been living in a contaminated state due to your inverted priorities. Now, it's not that they were wicked, but for 3 years they sat and did not build the temple. What did they leave Babylon? God orchestrated and they left Babylon to do what? To rebuild the temple. That's what they came for. They weren't rebuilding the walls. They weren't rebuilding Jerusalem. What were they rebuilding? The temple, so worship could take place in a proper fashion. And they came down and laid the foundation, but for 15 years it just laid. It laid just in dormant. I mean, I know they had problems with the Samaritans. I know they had problems from the outside. I know they were raising families. I know they had things to do. And they were trying to work a regular job and build the temple. And this building this temple, again, this temple was bigger than this auditorium. So unless you think it's a little small building where you go in and worship, this was huge. It was higher than the ceiling and it was bigger than this auditorium because I measured it out. It was gigantic to me. And they didn't have cranes. They didn't have. I mean, you think, you know, you go back to Noah's day. He built an ark. With what? Man, he didn't have Milwaukee power saws. I don't know how he did it. It took him 120 years. The temple this was a huge project. And they stopped. They had things going on in their life. And if you remember the beginning, you live in your sealed houses. You live in your finished houses. You live in your nice houses, but there's no place to worship me. My house leaves left alone. That's why we don't put a priority on it here, so to speak. But I appreciate all the men and women who take time to make the house of God, keep this house of God in good shape. I mean, let me picture it for you like this. You have live in beautiful homes. And, you know, every other light is out. And everything's falling apart in the church. You say, but Pastor, we just don't have time. Man, I'm raising kids. I'm raising a family. I got this going on, this going on. I got this. I don't have time. I'm so appreciative to the men and women who put a priority on Faith Baptist Church. I know there's some things you could be doing at your home. My wife, that frustrates her a little bit sometimes. You always do all these projects at the church, but you never get nothing done around here. She's sort of right. I love anything I do up here. I love. It doesn't matter how hard or how much time it takes. I love it. But that's where they were. And so God says it like this. You've been living in a contaminated state. You're not doing what God called you to do. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're living a contaminated life. You have inverted priorities. And as a result, everything you've touched, you're defiled. And everything you've touched becomes what? Defiled. See, when you live in a contaminated or defiled state, everything you touch becomes defiled. That's what he's telling Israel. And I'm telling you what, that's what I could tell you. You're not living like you should. You know it. You're living in sin. And there's a lot of Christians out there that fall into this category. You know, I'm telling you. You're living in a defiled state. Everything you touch, you're going to have battles. Now, just because you have battles doesn't mean you're living in a defiled state. Sometimes God puts you to the test. Sometimes God's got to mold you and make you. He's got to train you. He's got to use you. So don't take me wrong here. But he's saying, Israel, you've had inverted priorities. You're living in defilement. And everything you touch has been defiled. And this is how he explained it. He said, consider this. Before you laid one stone upon another in the Lord's temple, you laid the foundation. Then for 15 years, you went without laying one stone. And then in 3 weeks, they started laying the stones. But he said, go back to when you stopped building. Go back to those days. Do you remember? When anyone came to give a heap of 20 measures, there was only 10. When anyone went to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there was only 20. You had 50 in there, but there's only 20. Or the crop was so low, you couldn't even fill up your wine vat. You couldn't fill up your storages of wheat and barley and oats. And he said, I struck the work of your hands with blight. Now, he didn't take everything away from them, but it made life more difficult for them. And the more difficult life became, harder they had to work at it. And the harder they had to work at it, the less they considered building the temple. Do you see how this works? You know what? You know what the Lord is saying? If you would have just built the temple, you would have went to the wine vat and it would have had 50 measures. Your storage would have 20 measures. I would have blessed you if you had the right priorities. But because you're defiled, you walk in defilement, everything you touch, you defile. You know, in verses, chapter 1, verse 6, let me go back there a second for you. It says, you have sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You're never full. You drink, and you're not filled with drink. They clothe you, but you're never warm. And the earning of your wages, put it into a bag with holes, and inflation's just going to kill you. That's what was happening to them in those 15 years. And the more they neglected the temple, the harder they had to work to make their houses, to make their family survive, make everything survive. The harder they had to make their family survive, the less time they had for the temple. You see the cycle? That's what happened. And that's happening, I think, a little bit in America too, in Christianity. You know, people Not everybody. Like I said, I have my own problems. And I have things break down at my home. But there's one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to neglect the house of God. I don't want to fall into defilement. I think my life is pretty clean. I haven't done anything immoral, and I'm not perfect. I know that. I try to walk with God and in the morning, at night, and throughout the day, and spend time in prayer. But if you get defiled, contaminated, the Lord says everything you touch becomes contaminated. And that's what, for 15 years, they were working so hard in their homes and their family and different things that, but the more they neglected the temple of God, the more the problems. Look what it says in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 1. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and the oil and upon the ground bringeth forth and upon men and cattle. And you know, it wasn't by chance the drought came. What did Jesus say? What did God say? I gave it to you. I just made life harder for you. And I'm trying to show you this. If you put God first and you put the temple first, if you put what God wants you to do first, it doesn't mean your life is going to be perfect. But I tell you what, if you put God first, everything else falls into place. You'll be surprised. And that's how he concludes it. Verse 12, Zerubbabel, let me just go on. Time's getting away. Chapter 2, verse 16, and you know, again, the 10 measures and 20 measures, and there were only 10 and 50, and the smoke with blasting and with mildew and the hail in all, and with hail in all labors of the hands, and ye turn not to me, saith the Lord. He said, I struck you with all those kinds of things, and it made you work harder. And the more you neglected the temple, the harder you had to work to keep what you had. And what he's trying to tell him, if you would have had the right priorities in the first place, you wouldn't have had all those battles. Now, life wouldn't be perfect. But you're defiled. And it doesn't mean immoral. They had inverted priorities. They didn't do what God wanted them to do. And so their life became more difficult because everything they touched, they defiled. God sent it. He's not a mean God. He wanted to bring him back to him. But the more they didn't build the temple those 15 years, the more the problems came. And so they justified it. I don't have time to build the house of God because I got to deal with all these problems. But if you look from God's perspective, he says, if you would have just done the house of God like you were supposed to, you wouldn't have had all those problems. Now, again, that doesn't mean that somebody in a Christian today or somebody in this church has a lot of problems. They're defiled. No, that's not what I'm saying. But it could be for some. So this is what he said. He said, now you've started to rebuild the temple. On this day, the 24th day of the 9th month, he said, mark it on your calendar. Mark that date on your calendar. The 9th month, the 24th day, mark it on your calendar. That's when you began to rebuild the house of God. That's when you began to lay the stones. Mark that on your calendar. And he said, give it careful thought. And see if there's seed in the barn. See if the vats are filled. See if the fig tree and the pomegranate tree and the olive tree have not borne fruit. For from that day forward, I have begun to bless you. So for 3 weeks, God's began to bless them because they got back to the work that they were intended to do. And God began to bless them. And all of a sudden now the mildew and the blight and all the things that God had sent, the drought, he began to take away. And I don't think he just filled everything up immediately. But all of a sudden he said, mark that day down. The 9th month, the 24th day, the day you began to work. Mark that day down. And then compare in the future. Compare from that day forth to when you stopped building for 15 years. Compare the two. And what he's saying, he said, by comparing the two, to see that they had nothing but trouble in those years and the frustration and disappointment when they put their work first. But since you went back to work, you mark it down, you're going to experience peace and fulfillment and blessing as soon as you determined to serve God. Wow. To me, this is amazing. And so, and maybe it doesn't fit anybody in this room. And that'd be wonderful. But if it does fit you, you say, Pastor, I've had some of the wrong priorities. Maybe I've had a wrong priority in my tithe, in my work, in my Bible, in my witnessing. Doesn't mean you have to win somebody to Christ every day or give out a gospel tract every day, but for some of you, it may be a long, long time. Boy, I'm gonna change. He says, mark that date down on your calendar. June 29th, 2025. And get the right priorities. And then he said, I challenge you to do this. I challenge you to put me to the test and see if those days where I had the right priorities, he says, I challenge you to see if you have more blessing and more peace and fulfillment and joy than what you have when you had the wrong priorities. Compare the two. And it's a great truth. It's a powerful truth, folks. But most people won't apply it. Israel, for 15 years, they had to see the temple wasn't built. They knew that's why they left Babylon to come and rebuild the temple. For 15 years, they got the foundation laid. That was the hardest part. And now just build it. For 15 years, they lived in the defilement of wrong priorities. For 15 years, they lacked. For 15 years, in subtle ways, they saw their crops. Then they had to work harder to get more crops because what they had didn't produce. And the reason it got harder, they just continued. Defilement touches and defiles everything it touches. So God said, put me to the test. Mark a date, any date, where you change your ways. That's what he's saying. In verse 19, is there seed yet in the barn? Yea, in the vine, and the pomegranate, the olive tree have not they. From this day I will bless you. Test God. But see, we want to say, God bless us, and then I'll live for you. But God doesn't work that way. He says, you live for me. And get the right priorities. And you mark that date down. And you compare before you started walking with God and having your devotions and doing what you think God would have you to do. Compare from that day forward to the way it was before. you did those things. And put me to the test. And see if I'm a God of my word. That's what he told Israel. He said, you mark this day, the 9th month, the 24th day. And you watch the wine vat. You watch the barns. You watch the rain from heaven. If you continue to have the right priorities, go back and do what you came to do and build the house of God, you're going to be shocked at the difference from the 9th month and the 24th day to all those 15 years. I'm done. That's the challenge for you. You know, and I can go back to my teen years. And I go back to that day in Boulder, Colorado, when Brother Holmshire, I traveled neighborhood Bible time. Young pup, carnal as could be. And I went up into the mountains. Brother Holmshire, I don't know, got frustrated with me. He sent me up in the mountains. He said, go talk with God up there. I don't know how high I worked. He lived right in Boulder, Colorado, in the foot of the mountains. And I walked up in the mountain. I don't know how far I walked. But I got up on that mountain. And I had a time with God. From that day to this day, I can tell you there was a huge difference between the day I got saved and the day I got the right priorities. I can see the difference. And I know God's a God of blessing. And I think just some Christians have fallen into the defilement, not immorality, not wickedness. For them, it was just the wrong priorities. They didn't do what God had told them to do and what God wanted them to do and what they were called to do. He said, so remember this day. You're back to building the house of God. You mark that date to your present and see my blessing. Compared to when you stopped building, you were defiled, and I took it away from you. Wow, what a great truth. I sat in my office when I discovered this truth here. I said, I never want to go back. Oh, I'm not perfect, but I want to have the right priorities. Because I see and have seen the blessings of God. And I've been without the blessing of God. And I can remember as a 17-year-old boy, I looked up into heaven and said, God, if you're up there, show me. But Satan, if you're alive and well, and you show me, whichever one shows me, I'm going to serve you. That's how carnal I had become. Boy, struggles, depression. Tried to kill myself twice. I wanted to die. And it was just simply a defilement of the right priorities. Once I got that right, I can't explain to you the blessings of God. I can tell you the difference. And so would Israel. And so would you. You know, if you're struggling with the defilement of priority, pick a date. And live out those priorities. And then compare them to what was before. That's what God said. Compare it. And see if I'm a God of my word. What a wonderful and powerful truth. In the book of Haggai, hidden there. You probably never heard it before. I'd never seen it before. But what a great and powerful truth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these folks and their attention. I know it's warm. It's really warm outside. But this message, I can testify to the blessing of God. I can confess that I hadn't lived for Christ in, up in the mountains in 1981. In the month of May. I believe it was the 21st day. I surrendered everything I had to my God. My life hasn't been perfect and I haven't been perfect. But I changed my priorities. And now I see the blessing of God. I don't know if there's anybody here who even needs this message. But there may be one person who's been defiled, the defilement of wrong priorities. And they've struggled with some things. And it's not by accident. It's by God's choice. Lord, help us to learn this principle and apply it to our hearts and our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name, every head bowed and every eye closed.